Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm super excited to be here today because I get to hang out with amazingly cool people on what has turned out to be the American Tech Network. Thank you for joining us in the colonies today. And sorry about all that tea we spilled. It was an accident. But boy, did our harbor taste good for a little while. And now you have this image of people there leaning off of a pier, drinking right out of Boston Harbor. And yeah, don't do that. That's bad.
Yeah, even less so today.
Right? Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want to experience how bad the American healthcare system is? Go drink out of Boston Harbor.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. But wow, Ben, super festive today. How are you?
Top of the morning to you, Jeff.
And you know, I love getting to see your pot of gold.
Yeah, I have to say this week it's not just the American network. It's the Irish Tech Network. Which means as soon as Ewan sees this, we're going to get canceled.
It's how have we not been canceled already?
Yeah, exactly.
So St. Patrick's Day, River Thames is green. How many Vulcans do they kill to get that much green blood put into the river?
It could be Romulans.
That's true.
Could be Romulans. All right.
But
now Chuck's thinking, I wonder how many Romulans it would take.
No, I was trying to remember I guess I do remember seeing green Romulan blood.
Yeah, I mean they're genetically the same species.
Yeah, but I thinking specifically, you know, but I guess there was. Yeah, that may be research for next week.
So here's the ultra nerd bit. You know, Vulcan blood is copper-based instead of iron-based. That should make it blue, not green. Yeah, now you're thinking about that one.
Yeah. All this dead air is great for a podcast.
Oh, it's fantastic. Once again, how is it that Ewan lets us keep doing the show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have to say our blood is blue. It just turns red when it gets iron, which means they're probably correct that oxygenated Romulan/Vulcan blood would be green. Who knows?
Yeah, so our blood is rusty.
Mm-hmm. It literally is.
Yep.
And that's all we have for phlebotomy today.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the show for today.
Oh, Chuck, you are awesome. And how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. And I just so you know, I did check, and Irish Tech Network is .com is available.
I knew you were checking.
You know, so we're just going to gather them up country by country, region by region until we dominate.
We're like the Borg of podcasting. We will just continue to assimilate.
Without all
resist the futile lads.
That's right.
I could just imagine your list of domains you have in Hover.
Sorry, man.
I was just say or TSO host.
Yeah. Well, who's to say that you can't have domains in multiple places?
This is true.
This is true.
Yeah, but you know, you get 20% off if you buy them through TSO host.
Exactly.
Discount code BTN20. Hold on. I'm writing down the Borg of podcasting because that's a potential title.
Oh, that is good.
And considering that we don't have our A team here, who's always on top of stuff like what would be good show titles, or how do we fix whatever I have probably done to screw up the live stream? How do we tell people where to find the live chat? All of that. Yeah, our A team is Patrice. So
yeah,
without her here, I'm just kind of fumbling through.
So in other words, we pity the fools watching today.
We pity the fools. Yes. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing okay. It's Friday. The sun is out. The weather's been okay, I guess. Recovering from a little bit of a procedure at the eye doctor this morning, but I thought I'd be here and be with you guys. Give me some good spirit and share some great tech news.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad it worked out that you're able to join.
Yes. Plus, in very American fashion, he has a procedure and shows up to work anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
this doesn't work, but okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work today. I did take the day off. So
good for you.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do some news. And speaking of work, Dave, you actually do a lot of the hard work because you come up with all these interesting stories to talk about on In Touch with iOS. And then let me totally steal from your notes. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Exactly where the first story comes from, right from Dave's In Touch with iOS notes. There's talk that we may at some point, maybe soon, start seeing ads in shows on Apple TV Plus. And part of what's fueling this is the news that Apple has been hiring ad experts from different networks, and now they're part of the Apple TV Plus team. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean we talked about it last night, of course. The Amazon, that's what really triggered, I think, a lot of this is the fact that they started charging for ads, the ad-free versions of it. I'd be curious to see if Apple is going to do that as well. But I mean, it's inevitable. We got all these services, all these streaming services that are offering tiers that you can just have ads, so you don't have to pay as much and save the money. Because I think Apple TV Plus is what, up to about $8 or $9 a month now, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. It's something that you knew was going to have to happen at some point. I mean, I think many of us here probably already pay. You know, I pay for Disney Plus for no ads, and I pay for Hulu no ads, and Paramount Plus I pay for no ads. So we like that premium, and if you're going to offer, that's great. It's annoying, but you know, Apple did give us they gave us a lot of leeway from when Apple TV Plus first came out. It was basically free for 6 months, and then have reasonable pricing. But yeah, as content gets more expensive, they got to recoup that. So you know, I know it's kind of a crappy thing, but the same thing with Amazon. I mean, Prime, you're paying some pretty good dime for have a Prime membership, but you know that, and they offered the TV service as the perk as part of it. But you know, times have changed.
Mm-hmm. And hold on, there's a surprise. Patrice is actually able to join us.
Oh, what? Lovely.
Oh,
yeah.
We can fix the stream.
Well, maybe not.
Stream is already fixed.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, well, I can try and see if it's working. Let's see. Start the stream.
Frost the stream.
Edit here.
Come on.
Yeah.
Are we seeing Patrice through riveting
perspective? Podcasting.
Aw.
I have a visitor.
And Patrice has a visitor. You're not on your regular puppy. Mic, just so you know. Or maybe you're too far away.
Yeah.
No, she's not, definitely not on the regular mic.
Yeah, that's not the right one.
It sounds like the Mac mic or something.
Mac mic. No live like stream happening from here.
It's Trident.
There you go.
That's a Patrice one. Hey,
what's her name?
Ronya.
Nice. Okay, she seems like a great podcasting dog.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. And just as soon as this is over, dog, she is going to run you to get all that energy out of you.
Mm-hmm.
This checks out.
Unlike some certain podcasting cats that I can think of. Not mentioning any names.
The office manager.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about Kat.
I'm not seeing
the office manager.
Yeah, I'm not seeing live stream yet.
Yeah, it failed.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you get it fixed, great. If not, it doesn't matter because we're recording anyhow, and it's like in. This is like a double treat because wasn't sure if Dave was going to be able to join, and here he is, and you weren't initially able to join, but now here you are. So there we go. Now we have our A team.
All right. So
okay. So I have a question about the A team. How could they be this elite military strike force and not be able to hit anything with their guns? Ever.
The same way that everybody in the Star Wars universe can't hit the broadside of a barn with anything other than a lightsaber. I mean, they can deflect charges with the lightsabers like nobody's business. But when it comes to hitting a spaceship from another spaceship, forget it.
See, Jeff, everybody is wearing something in that show that is very expensive. It's called plot armor.
Yep. Fancy plot armor.
Yeah, which brings us back to TV.
Oh my God! Right, I totally forgot. We were talking about ads on Apple TV. And actually, Ben, you were about to make a comment, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see if I remember it.
Well, if you do, you'll be doing better than I am.
Okay. Like I said last night on Dave's show, everybody bemoans ads on TV. But when it comes to their actual buying habits, they're clearly okay with them. Having ads has significantly boosted revenue for Netflix, Paramount Plus, presumably Amazon. And you want to know what the fastest growing service in terms of revenue right now is?
Oh, do tell.
That would be Fox's Tubi, which is only ad supported.
So, so you can watch Tubi for free, and I can see where that would be a big draw for a lot of people.
Yeah. So, if anybody asks if ads are going to be more prevalent, yeah, they are. Because nobody wants to pay what it really costs for people to pay the actors and crew and network executives, etc., working on these shows.
I feel like this is kind of a Battlestar Galactica thing. All this has happened before. All this will happen again.
That's true.
Yeah.
So say we all.
All right, here's the problem that I have with this, and it's not an Apple-specific issue, because I presume Apple will handle this better. It's the way certain companies have handled introducing ads into their service. And when I say certain companies, I'm just talking about Amazon right now, where they offer you a service and they say, this is what it costs. And it's an ad-free service for your streaming content. And then they say, oh, except now it's going to cost you $3 more for what we were already offering you. Instead of saying, here is a lower tier version of our service or lower cost version that has ads. And for $3 more, you get the version that doesn't have ads, which is what we're paying now.
Yeah.
Alternately, what they could have done is said, when your Amazon Prime membership is up for renewal, at that point, your service includes ads in Prime. But for $3 more, you can have the ads removed. And then it becomes a thing where you are actually getting to make a choice about your service, as opposed to having a service that you're already paying for, where they Darth Vader it and change the terms. And now we're Orlando hoping that they don't change the terms again.
The deal keeps getting worse and worse all the time.
Right. I feel like the way Amazon handled it was very crappy for their customers, and that's just a bad look.
So yeah, it definitely was. I mean, what it shows you is that ads pay better than customers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're negotiating the ads. You aren't negotiating with customers. You're saying, here's the service, so we are a steady stream of revenue and a consistent stream, but we're not a flexible based on, you know, what they're giving us. So let me back up just a couple places here. First of all, unless I read this wrong and I took a quick look at this, this is not saying necessarily that Apple TV Plus is going to have ads.
No,
it's saying that there may be a lower tier, and lower tier. What's that mean? It's going to be the same programming. It just means that you're going to pay less, but you're going to have ads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to Ben's point, Tubi and Pluto TV, you know, they're out there killing it. With free ad supported, so, you know, kind of why wouldn't you at least examine that if that's what the evidence is showing customers are, you know, are interested in, instead of just insisting that we're going to, you know, require you to do this top tier. Amazon's handling, Jeff, I'm with you. It is a little shaky, but you know, it is what it is. I don't know about you, and I'm curious, because I think one thing that really drives some of this is how you watch your television, not necessarily your high-powered movie programming, but your television. Do you sit down and watch your television, or do you kind of dance around it and you do other things? You know, you might, you know, go take a load of laundry out while TV's on and running. You know, that to me, I think, can drive things. What did you say, Patrice?
I said both. I mean, with like, I have ADHD, so that sometimes I need that background noise to get me to focus on something, and that is, for me, surprisingly, TV shows. Music doesn't work, podcast doesn't work, TV shows work. So yeah, okay. Both, and I think for a lot of people, it's probably both.
Yeah, I agree, because I mean, I don't remember the last time I sat down and watched something the whole way through without having some distraction of some kind. And usually it's a self-imposed distraction. It's not like the doorbell rang. It's like, you know, I just remembered something and I got to go, you know, make a note of that or pull it up on another screen. And so I don't think this is a tragedy, you know, that the tech press once again is painting it up as a tragedy, but it's Apple just kind of going in and maybe giving, hopefully giving us an option. I will be usually disappointed if they don't give us an option that says that is ad free. I don't care what they charge for it. If they don't give that option, I personally think they're making a mistake. So on the other hand, like we were saying before, you know, as a user, they may be satisfied with losing some people who are just saying, I'm just not going to pay it if I have to watch ads. And at the bottom line, they can negotiate more on a per user basis if the revenue is ad generated. So business decision wise, yeah, it might potentially be a great decision.
I think what Tubi and so on and even YouTube are showing is you cannot compete with free, even if it is not free. And even if you have to like sit through a ton of really annoying ads, it's simply hard to compete with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, broadcast TV.
Mm-hmm.
Please, what's not?
But I mean, as far as the platform goes, Apple TV is already set up to show ads. Right now, they're just showing Apple's own.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so Ben, you just triggered a thought for me. What if Apple is planning on doing something with ads where they're not in the show, but they're at like the beginning of the show, and you can't fast forward through the two or three ads, so they play and then the show starts?
That makes sense. And I think that's actually a lot more palatable to people than interrupting the show.
I won't pay for or use a service where I see ads in the show.
But it's you and me.
I know. I'm fully aware. I am a minority here. But even when I was a kid watching television, when our only option, unless you had a friend who had HBO, was to watch shows with ads in real time.
Yeah.
And I just hated it, even as a kid. Just that abrupt interruption in a show, just no. And so now I'm a grown up, and when I have the option to watch content without the ads, I'll do it. And if there's going to be ads in it, probably not going to watch it.
I'm just like me you. Too. I'm just like you, Jeff. I mean, I can't stand ads, and like, YouTube's a good example. I pay for YouTube Premium only because I can't stand sitting through all those crazy ads you have to skip all the time. I see it when I'm not signed in. I was like, oh my god, I'm so glad I have YouTube Premium. I don't even have to see the darn ads. I mean, most of all the services that I have, I pay for it to not have.
But
ads.
Honestly, I mean, I'm with you, Jeff. I as a kid, I mean. Usually that meant I never watched the show because I would start it, ads would come on, I would get distracted and never come back to it or come back to it halfway through the show or something because, that's just how my brain works. But I think that's why it's the best of both worlds. Like you can have the ad-supported free version and you can say, hey, if it's important to you, here is an amount that we determined that is okay to pay for it. And you can then decide, which way do you want to go?
Sure.
Not watch it at all, watch the ads, or pay for the premium.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this really interesting because for two things that have been said here, I don't mind ad supported if the TV shows have been produced to have ad insertions.
Yeah.
I find it super annoying that when some of the legacy stuff has come out there, and this was true early on with, I guess it was Hulu, where it just seemed like they would just drop an ad in just wherever it suited them, right in the middle of dialogue. And it felt like, okay, you weren't respecting the way it was originally created. You decided you want to put more ads in, and so you're breaking up the experience. That's a whole different animal. But if it's paced properly, I don't mind it. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, and I think, Ben, you were the one that said it. I detest pre-roll ads in podcasts. Okay. And I have not encountered them as such in TV shows, at least that I've been aware of. But it drives me crazy to say I'm going to listen to the Context Machine and click, and literally 2 minutes later, I hear Jeff Gamet's voice.
Or 10. I've had some cases where it's 10 minutes.
Are you serious? Maximum has been about 2.
Yeah, I think some iHeartRadio stuff, they have like 10, like 3, 4, 5 spots, 1-2 minute long each before they even start.
Well, wow. See, that's what killed radio. I think, in my opinion, it's what's killing TV is too many ad spots. But, you know, it's like, I don't mind Jeff coming on saying today's show is sponsored by, because that's the way I do it with my show. That's fine, but it's going to be brief. You know, that's it. Then you have a mid-roll, and that's fine. You know, if you put the mid-roll at 2 minutes, I don't mind it. But that the fact that I'm being forced to, I mean, I have things set up now to skip to a minute and a half in automatically. I can do that with Overcast so that I don't have to, because I know they're going to be there and they're going to be annoying. And I'm going to, my blood pressure is going to go up. So, you know, but here, just Ben said he doesn't mind it. So, you know, we're all different.
Yeah. Because, I mean, here's the thing. I have worked in TV. I know how much those ads actually pay for. If people are getting paid a working wage, you know, I'll take a little bit of inconvenience. But at the same time, you know, I think we might get to a position where there's ad supported, and then there is a large premium for no ads.
And that's why.
I have a completely different bone to pick. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of services are leaving money on the table by not offering their services internationally. I have a really hard time. I would like to pay for like CBS, for example.
Paramount.
Because I like their shows. Paramount. Yeah, it's on Paramount now. Actually, nowadays, there is a Paramount even in Europe, but it does not include the US content. The US content is not available at all. Like, not even a local service, which I would hate because it's all in German, but not even a local service I can get to. I would pay I have given them money. Like, I've literally, like, set up a VPN and paid them their money just to watch it. But they're blocking me nowadays. So I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm giving you money for a service and you're not offering it. And why is that? I don't understand that.
It's all about local laws, international treaties, all that crap.
It's because they want to sell it to some local network or something and make money that way. And that's why. So there's an exclusive contract with someone probably in Europe, but there's a ton of content that I don't get at all. Like the NCIS shows, they're simply not available here. Like not or like Bachelor. I like watching a Bachelor sometimes. It's simply not available, even if I wanted to. So I don't understand that kind of approach.
Patrice, are you overlooking some of the licensing that the creators do, that, you know, something is licensed only for broadcast in the US?
Could be. I don't know what it is, but I think that is something that could be worked out. Like, I'm willing to pay for it and I can't. And that is a really strange approach.
I will bring this up. It's not exactly the same example, but, and this has been a while, I'd have to go and look. But there was a particular album by a particular band that was a not necessarily well-known band that I wanted. And it was not available in the US iTunes store. It was only available in the Australian. Why? That, you know, and I'm having the same argument. The license was only for the Australian store. And it's like, so you're leaving money on the table, like you said, Patrice, because I want it. So I had to concoct a thing where I went to the Australian store and was able to get it. And then had to download it and rip it and, you know, so I could keep it. And it's like, this is just insane.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
those are the types of problems that should be solved instead of, is it ad supported or not?
Yeah. To me, that is just further evidence that lawyers ruin everything.
Is that so true?
Sorry, Sparks.
Ben, you're baiting me, and I'm not going to take the bait because then we'd have to edit the show, and that's just not a good idea.
No, I do not want to have to do edits.
I wasn't talking about profanity edits. I was talking about opinion edits, Jeff.
In that case, I would say, don't worry, I'll edit it in post and then not.
Yeah, thank you very much. And then I have to move. Thank you, Jeff.
It's all right. We'll help you work on a new identity. No big deal. All right. Well, let's hit another story. And this one takes us back to the EU and Spotify. So Spotify is now saying that Apple is intentionally blocking their app updates in the EU, and App Store approval is typically about 24 hours, but Spotify has been sitting waiting for, I think, 9 days for approval on the new version of their EU app. And so they're claiming that Apple is intentionally dragging their feet on approving the app.
I mean, we all know this is politics, right? Mm-hmm. This is, yeah. I mean, 9 days. I mean, can happen. I've had that. We've seen even longer hold up sometimes. If there's something someone wants to check, can take a while. This is politics. This is just they have an in with the EU. They want to get the EU to do their bidding basically and set up laws in a way that benefits Spotify. I think they're completely in the wrong, but that's not for me to decide. But they're using that to their advantage. So yeah, it's just politics.
I completely agree with Patrice. But the recent spat with Epic opened a door for this. It's also one of the reasons I thought that move by Apple was completely ill-advised, because once they basically got their little tongue-lashing by the EU in the principal's office, well, all of EA's friends in the Coalition for App Fairness, or whatever the hell it's called. Well, doors open, people.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I'm so sick of A, I'm so sick of Spotify whining about everything and running to mommy EU and asking them to fix it. But more importantly, you know, I'm trying to figure out who really is in control here. Is the EU, you know, kowtowing to Spotify, or Spotify kowtowing to the EU? I mean, it's just like, okay, we don't need attorneys anymore. We'll just whine to the EU and then they'll make it right. And I'm surprised that the EU, I understand their position that they want to be taken seriously, but at some point, you know, how many of these little complaints, 9 days, and they're whining to the EU? If the EU acts on that, now if it becomes, you know, 15, 20, 30 days, okay, then there's maybe an issue. But 9 days, yeah. that just feels like, you know, I want to complain to the EU about something in that case to see if they can fix it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a problem too. I want the EU to pay me a lot of money. Can I get that?
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Hey, Patrice, hey, EU, Patrice wants US content. Could you please fix that for her?
Oh, yeah, please.
You know, that seems very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Speaking of trouble, I think Apple will have some trouble from this. There will be repercussions. Yeah. Because,
and they deserve it.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, regardless of whether or not Spotify is in the right or the wrong, holding back approval of the app this long, not cool. And if there's a problem with the app, then Apple should have let Spotify know already. So there shouldn't be this radio silence. The app just hasn't been approved thing going on.
But do we know that? Do we really know that Apple didn't?
Great point.
Spotify is saying the nothing about that. Simply, that doesn't mean that they haven't heard.
Fair. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but I mean, we're at the point where, right or wrong, Apple has this reputation now of pettiness around it.
They've had that for the last 15 years.
Yeah, but I mean, especially considering the DMA and associated companies like Spotify and Epic. There could be a very legitimate reason they're doing this, but at the same time, that also that perception comes into play. And in a lot of ways, perception becomes reality, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, that's an important part of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Dave, yeah, which... you've been uncharacteristically quiet.
This is just like you guys pretty much agree with everything you guys said. I mean, so Spotify is always they're a bunch of crybabies, honestly. I mean, that's all we hear every time. Oh, what was Spotify? Where Apple keeps blocking us. We can't do this. And yeah. if Apple flat out is deliberately blocking this app, then yeah, they should say something. I agree with that. I mean, look what happened with Epic and the developer's account. Then they did a 360 and then gave it back because they got a lot of heat for it. Well, now this is in the press. Is that same thing going to happen? Well, it depends. I mean, we don't have the whole story here why the app was not approved by Apple. Apple's, you know, are they required to publicly tell us that? Yeah, it's, I would think so. But Spotify just creating more press. It's really what it is.
Yep.
I want to see Apple buy an ad on Spotify's advertising Apple Music.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
You know, that's,
oh, I
that's
would love that.
Do you not like your industry leading music service complaining all the time? Well, just come over to Apple Music. I mean, we won't even talk about when we're going to have Classical on the Mac.
Yeah, that's there you right. Go. Good music.
Well,
good
sometime
karma.
Between now and never, right?
Yeah. But Ben, you bring up a good point, though. You know, Spotify is the number one streaming service out there. So it's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I haven't seen any stories recently, but I think I'm right about this, that Spotify was paying less to artists than
paying
Apple
less
was.
And still not making money, by the way. They're not profitable.
Well,
or barely.
Then, yeah. So
but that's their problem, not Apple's problem.
Yeah, and it's not the artist's problem. You know, so no. I mean you look at this whole picture and you try to figure out, okay, they're the largest. Maybe they're just doing what we were talking about with streaming services. Maybe they're not charging enough. So
if they were charging more, then maybe competitors might get an edge, right? Like Apple.
Yeah. So
maybe
they should
charge advertisers more.
Yeah. There's so many aspects to this, and this is the problem with stories like this, that they simplify it down to just one or two questions when there are, you know, 35 different questions that should be asked and examined by as well as the regulators.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should again be talking about the venture capital business model, because none of these large companies seem to ever be making any money.
Yeah, but there's still money coming from somewhere. It's like magic. Yep. Hey, you know what else is like magic?
TSO Host.
That's right. TSO Host, what they do is offer web hosting service. They help people buy domain names, and they do it all with great customer service and really good pricing. And what they're doing with all of that is supporting us. They're giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows to you every single week, and giving us the web hosting space we need so that there's a place for the British Tech Network website to live. And they're giving us the server space we need so that we have a place to host all of the show files so that you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. The resources to do all of this, it's pretty steep. So without TSO Host's help, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, because it would just require resources that are beyond our capability to have. So here they are giving back to the community by supporting BTN. And we really, really appreciate that. So what we can all do to show our appreciation for TSO Host being here supporting us, go out on social media, thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. It's all you have to do. Super easy. Just go do it. And it's, I mentioned karma jokingly a couple minutes ago. It's good karma in a not joking way now, because everyone needs to know that they're appreciated. And this is what we can do to show TSO Host that we do appreciate them. And since they offer all of these great services, they've decided to sweeten the pot for all of us in the BTN family. If you need to buy domain names, I mean, they already offer great pricing. So go and use TSO Host to buy those new domain names that you want. And Ben, what was the one that you came up with earlier? Oh, it was Irish Tech Network. Yes. Oh, no, Chuck was looking it up. Right. That's right. IrishTechNetwork.com. Just for Ben. Go and use TSO Host to buy those domain names. And then be sure and throw the discount code BTN20 into your cart so you get an extra 20% off that order. So they're being super, super generous there too. If you need hosting, go ahead and throw that in the cart too. You'll get the discount on that as well. So thank you, TSO Host, for being incredibly generous and being here to support the British Tech Network. And thank you for being so generous to offer a great deal to everyone in the BTN family. So TSO Host, you rock. And speaking of rocking, since our A team did show up, I can actually, as long as you're up for it, Patrice, ask you if you mind telling people about the live chat.
I'll try my best. I hope I can't go through it without like having to mute myself in between. Live stream, yeah. So we have a really cool live chat that you can join whenever we're recording, which is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, the Mac Show. And by the way, also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show. So if you're into the non-Apple side of technology, like chips, games, I don't know, space, cars, all of that, you know, everywhere there's technology. That's a really cool show. I can highly recommend it. Sometimes we have to skip times, shows like yesterday, or change the show times. So it's always good to have a look at our social media or at our website or Slack room or whatever. And yeah, when we are recording, you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and then you can enjoy our live chat with all the cool links, like today's links that Ben always posts. Story links,
British links,
nice, and coursing links and all of that stuff that we discuss. You can talk to each other, you can talk to us, so it's really worth your time if you have time for that. But let's say you're sleeping, you're working, you're busy some other way, that's totally okay. And you're listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, whether it's Apple's or Spotify's or a website or wherever you're finding that, it's all fine for us. Everybody can consume their content however they want, with or without ads. I don't know if Spotify puts ads up for our show. I've never checked, to be honest, because I don't care about Spotify. But you can still get to the chat transcript. Like, you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a very friendly calendar that asks you for a date. And whatever date you put in between June 2nd, 2015, and, well, today, and today would be March 15th, 2024, at least as we're recording this, whatever date you put in, you will see what we talked about in the chat on that particular day. So I can highly recommend any Thursday for the big show or Friday for the Mac show. I think other days are usually quite empty, so not worth checking.
Wow. See, even when you're not fully healthy, you still nail it. And even on my best day, I still fumble through the whole thing. Yeah. So thank you, Patrice. All right. Now it's time to do some cool things. And it looks like Dave has the first cool thing already. And you are muted. But that's okay. I mean, you could just do interpretive dance.
I literally just got this as the show started, so I ran downstairs to grab it, so it can be my cool thing.
That was the brief moment that you disappeared.
It was. So yeah, I got the Belkin charger we talked about last night.
Last night.
This is a 15-watt Belkin Qi charging. This thing's got a really long cord. Look how long this cord is.
It's 2 meters.
Yeah, it's 2 meters long, and it's Qi charging. It attaches to the phone. This is my first time doing it. Yeah, attached fine. So, and what was the most amazing thing is the price is only $30 US. So, I think it's down from like $60. So it's a pretty good deal. Having this really long cable, have another Qi charging, and it's Belkin. But the other thing too is it does have that. It's got a kickstand too that you can pull out, and if I can get it. Yep, there it is. So it's got that kickstand right there where you can have it set out and keep stand it up while you're charging. Yeah, what the heck? $30. Can't beat it. And it's Belkin.
Yeah, nice. It's the world's cheapest nightstand mode stand.
Yeah. There you go. Hmm.
Yeah, I guess technically that's cheaper than when I made one out of Lego, because I'd use Lego bricks and I had to have the charger. So yeah, you're right. Yeah. Cool. All right. So, and we even got an unboxing. So that was fun too.
You did.
All right, Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. I don't remember what show we talked about this because we're on so damn many, but mine is the Sabrent Rocket V60 1 terabyte UH2 memory card. So this thing is 270 megabytes down, 170 up, which is about as fast as you can get for UHS-2. Apple, please add Express to the M4 generation. But yes, this is a really great option if you have a camera, but you can also stick that into the SD card slot on your Mac and get another terabyte of storage on the cheap.
Nice.
And Sabrent has proven itself to be a very good brand for not a whole lot of money.
Very cool. And I was going to say, and you know, if you wanted to have a terabyte on a Raspberry Pi, here you go. But
yeah,
No, because it's not micro SD. So I was wrong. But still, $179 for a terabyte SD card, fast terabyte SD card. Nice. Yeah.
And it's swappable. So you can have multiple of them and swap out terabytes for your MacBook Pro.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool. Or you can just put it in there and let it sit.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, now I want to see someone have a multi-SD card reader connected to their Mac, several of these in there, and they set up a RAID with terabyte SD cards. I'm looking forward to your report, Ben. Cool. All right. So, Patrice, your turn.
So my turn. Mine is a TV show. It's on Apple TV Plus. So at least currently, no ads, but you pay for it. So it's not free. It's The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy. You might, I don't remember from which shows now, I'm blanking on it, but I think you've seen him like in a bunch
American
of shows.
He has
one, Pie, for example.
Schitt's Creek.
He's part of the Second City TV crew that's done tons of movies together. Loved him in A Mighty Wind.
And yeah, he's gotten a lot of awards. He's done like a lot of different things. But at least he says he's not like a very good traveler. Like he just doesn't like to explore. He doesn't like to go out of his comfort zone. And that's what this show is about. So him literally stepping out into the world, stepping out of like the world that he knows, and traveling and going places and experiencing places and trying new foods and new things and out of that. And it's a really funny, hilarious, interesting approach that he's taking to things. And like this is the second season. So he started in the first season, he went to Finland, he went to Venice, he went to Utah, he went to Lisbon, for example, Tokyo, like he did it all. In season two, he's more sticking to Europe. I think he did start in Sweden, and now he's kind of moving step by step down south. So the second episode is Scotland, the third is France, the fourth that's coming up that's not released yet is Germany. So very much looking forward to that one. As I said, it's just a very interesting, as I said, he's definitely a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in the first season, you could tell that he wasn't like 100% in, I think. But now he's kind of embraced it. He's like, hey, that could actually be quite fun and interesting. Let's explore more. That's kind of what the second season is. But so it's a good show. It's not like the episodes are not too long. So it's like 30-ish minutes. So it's not 2-hour movie about some place somewhere. It's like 30 minutes, easy peasy, light entertainment. You learn something. So highly recommend that show.
Awesome. And yeah, and Eugene Levy is great in everything I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
So, all right. Then, Chuck, your cool... yes, everyone is letting me know that your cool thing link did not work.
Oh, it didn't.
So, you know, no pressure.
Sorry about that. Let's try this. Wonder why it didn't work. That's strange. How about that one?
There we go.
Okay. Okay, good. Sorry about that. So my cool thing, I made a mistake I'm sure a lot of people made as we started playing with home automation, that you'd pick up things by bits and pieces, you'd pick them up based on deals or prices, and you soon found out, like I have, that not everything works with everything else, and you may have made some questionable decisions about what protocols, which ones support it. So now I'm going around my house just slowly but surely trying to standardize on a few things so that it makes life easier. Basically, without getting into a lot of detail, I'm insisting that things now support, hopefully, the Apple Smart Assistant and the Amazon Smart Assistant. I really don't care that much about the Google Smart Assistant. That's me. I'm just not completely comfortable with that. I'd much rather have it on Apple's system, but if I have to go with Amazon's, or if I just want that as a backup, I want that as an option. So I started going around and redoing my smart plugs, or thinking about things that I would like to do more, put on a smart plug more. And after doing some research, I actually called Jeff because I think he's been partway down this path before too.
So far down this path.
Yeah. I decided to standardize on the Casa smart plug minis. These were top rated. In fact, they were a Wirecutter pick as the best smart plug. And so far I've implemented three of them out of the four pack that I got, and they've been flawless. So I can recommend them with comfort. And the best part is with this process we're going through, right now on Amazon, there's a $5 coupon. So basically you get four of these for about $39. So that's, you know, 10 bucks, give or take, per smart plug. And that's a pretty darn good price, especially with what we started to get used to paying in the past with some others. So I'm sure they're, you know, they will come out with something better, and that'll be fine. But for right now, things are slowly getting to the point where I can standardize on something and feel confident that they work. So if you've made this mistake and you want to start on this project, this is a good place to start.
I like how you and start that with if you've made the mistake, because cool, nice price.
Yeah, and if anybody wants less than four of those, they also have two of them for 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is about the same price.
Yeah.
So yeah. And you know, I also should mention these things, this is the slim version. So this is small. It's not like the big bulky ones that take up, you know, half of your wall outlet. So that is a consideration as well. It's probably a small one, but it is one. So just be aware of that as well.
Yeah. And on the whole small plug thing, my feeling is, when you can get the smart plugs that are really small, always get those, because you never know where the tight spot is going to be when you need to plug one of these in. And in the old days, when a smart plug was like a big blocky thing, like bigger than a bar of soap, I would end up having to get the little pigtail extension cords. So I could plug one in to the outlet and then have this thing like a big robotic tumor dangling off of it to get it to fit. So yeah, go for the tiny ones. And this is a good pick.
Yep. And this one, actually, if you go to the Amazon page, you'll see, at least on my screen, the second from the bottom up supplementary graphic shows that you can plug two of these into a standard wall outlet, on one on top of the other, and they both fit. So you have a representation that is the case.
And yeah, being able to do that's important, I think. All right. So that brings us to my cool thing, which is not flashy, but at least in the US right now, not expensive. Anchor, 6 foot or 2 meter USB-C to USB-C cable, the whole braided heavy duty cable thing that they do. Two pack, $8.99.
Oh crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and they can do the 60 watt 3-amp push through. So totally acceptable for fast charging plugs for phones. And yeah, there you go.
You can buy a 5-pack for £16. Sorry, $16.
So What I'm hearing is when I need to buy my cables and stuff, I just need to do a quick trip to the UK, buy a bunch of stuff, throw it in my carry-on, and come home.
No, I meant $15. Yeah. Sorry, I just misspoke.
Oh, $15. Wait, $15 for a 5-pack of these?
Yep. Says so on Amazon.
Oh, come Maybe on.
That link will translate over to US.
Look at that. I didn't even think to click on the 5-pack. Went, yeah, there you go. Well, damn. Okay, well, my 2-pack shows up tomorrow. A 5-pack would have been really cool, but it's okay because I'm pretty sure that I have bought one or two of these before and they're in the closet somewhere and I just can't find them. So I'm pretty sure there's 2, 4, maybe more of this very cable already somewhere in my place. All right. So with that, it is time to wrap up. So thank you to all of you for being here. And what a great way to start off my Friday. Yeah. Glad I get to spend it with all of you. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Raythig on social media, raythig.tech for my writings. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner. On Thursdays, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. And Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows.
I want to hear you say it that way every single week. Yeah. Cool. Patrice, thank you for joining us, being able to hop in late. I'm so glad that you're able to join in. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here almost every week on the Mac Show on Fridays and also on the Big Show on Thursdays. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And yeah, I have a podcast called Foodie Flashback that I haven't posted an episode in a while. I should get to that at foodieflashback.com, but there's a quite good backlog on really cool episodes with really cool people talking about food and food related stories and just everything that goes with that.
Awesome. And I forgot your friend's name already.
Oh, her name is Ronja. There's a famous like Grimm tale, folk tale in Germany. So that's what she's named after, I think.
Okay.
It's not my dog. So she's just neighbor's dog and taking care of Forte.
Well, I'm glad that she was able to join in. And she clearly is up for doing some podcasting.
No, 100%.
Yep. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, just like Ben and Jeff. And I'm also on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything. We're playing a little bit of catch up with some episodes that have been recorded and now need to get out there so you can enjoy them. On all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. And we do Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And everybody here is included, including Patrice, when she stays up late and joins us. And along with a bunch of our other friends, it seems like recently we've been just having more and more of a good time because there's a lot of laughter, but not everybody agrees with everybody else, but that's sort of the fun of it. So we try to be entertaining and informative and provoke you to think a little bit. Thank you, Jeff. And Patrice, I sincerely hope that that's one of those good German fables or fairy tales or whatever, as opposed to the ones where like people eat children. So
yes.
Good.
where people eat children. Oh, yeah. Man, the Germans, they know how to spin a kid's story, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you can find me on social media. I'm Jay Gamut on pretty much all of them. I'm active right now on Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. And then for podcasts, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS on Thursdays, here on the British Tech Network for The Big Show on Thursdays and The Mac Show on Fridays. And then Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine together. So with that, thank you again to all of you for being so wonderful and putting a smile on my face on this Friday morning. You are all awesome. And everyone that's watching the show, we were having some technical problems getting the live stream to work. So if you joined us partway through, once it was up and running, hey, thanks for tuning in. Glad you were here. But everyone, for this episode, it's pretty much going to be you're watching or listening to the recording later on. So all of you, thank you for being here. You are all awesome. And I'm so happy you are all part of the BTN family. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them online love, people, and use that BTN20 discount code. And if you're not already watching the Daily News Show, or listening, whatever, it's time for you to start. Kyle does an amazing job of giving you the news in a 5-minute block, the tech news that you need for the day, and it's ready and waiting for you when you get up in the morning. So just seriously, if you're not already checking out the show, it's time to start. Also, go to the BTN website and click the button to donate to keep the show running, because the Daily News Show does take extra resources, and that comes out of all of our pockets, meaning us as the BTN family. So please send some money in to keep that show running.
Quick correction. I checked. It's actually not a German folktale. It's from the Swedish author of Pippi Longstockings from the 80s. It's a book. So I misremembered that.
And it's probably harmless.
Yeah, it's mostly harmless, yeah.
Mostly harmless.
Mostly, okay.
though there may be parts where children are turned into Swedish meatballs.
Hey, you know, you got to eat. So anyhow, with all of that out of the way, thank you again to everyone for being here. This has been absolutely wonderful fun, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. So be sure and join us next Thursday for the Big Show, and then next Friday for the Mac Show. And I'm totally lost on when time change happens. In the
another
UK.
Week,
okay.
Another week. Next week we'll have the same messed up schedule.
Okay, so really, it affects those of us in the U.S. because we have to figure out when to show up for the right times. All right. Well, we'll make it happen. All right. So, thank you, everyone, again. Have an awesome weekend, and we will see you again next week.